Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If it brings her to the same point that it brings you, it doesn't matter whether she called it God along the way or not.
That understanding works for you, so therefore it is absolutely right for you.
All beliefs have become only relatively true, and of course to the world, religion is just some personalized experience, not a divine revelation, and the church is catching the disease.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And let's be real about this. It's insane that we haven't raised the retirement age in the United States. It's totally crazy.
This is Wretched Radio. Ben Shapiro done stepped on a landmine when he suggested, no, he didn't suggest, he just flat out said it. Retirement at the age of 65, it is downright, air quote, stupid. Let us listen to Ben Shapiro and see, first of all, if he makes his case, is his argument actually powerful? Or is there a better way to discuss this subject? Second, can Christians bring something better to the conversation about retirement? Do we possibly, with our holy book that's sufficient for all of life and godliness, have anything to say about this subject? And then third, let's talk about you and your retirement. Take it away, Ben.
If that were the case, Joe Biden should not be running for president. Hey, Joe Biden is 81 years old. The retirement age in the United States, at which you start to receive Social Security and you are eligible for Medicare, is 65. Joe Biden has technically been eligible for Social Security and Medicare for 16 years, and he wants to continue in office until he is 86, which is 19 years past when he would be eligible for retirement. No one in the United States should be retiring at 65 years old. Frankly, I think retirement itself is a stupid idea unless you have some sort of health problem.
Oof. Jimmy, where exactly does Ben Shapiro stand on the subject? Is he kind of lukewarm about? No, he's rather emphatic.
Yep.
Retirement at the age of 65 is stupid. Now, I will say this. His point about Joe Biden, I'm not sure how that supported his argument, because the issue still is, who gets to determine when we retire?
Everybody that I know who is elderly, who has retired, is dead within 5 years. And if you talk to people who are elderly and they lose their purpose in life by losing their job and they stop working, things go to handbasket real quick. But
before he gets to his butt, let's just say that that's true. Let's say that he is citing some sort of statistical model that says you retire at 65, you're dead by the time you're 70. I still would ask the question, yeah, so that's the individual's decision. The question remains, should we be retiring at the age of 65? What does the Bible have to say about it? What is a fully formed Christian perspective on the subject of how we're supposed to be spending our golden years? This is Ben's take.
Put all of that aside, just on a fiscal level and on a logical level. When Franklin Delano Roosevelt established 65 as the retirement age, the average life expectancy in the United States was 63 years old. Today, the average life expectancy in the United States is close to 80. It's totally insane that you believe that you should be able to work from the time that you are essentially 20 to the time that you are 65, which is a 45-year period, pay in, and then you will receive Social Security benefits sufficient to support you and your family, you and your wife or whatever, for like another 20 years. That's crazy talk.
Nah. Is that a potent argument that it's fiscally irresponsible? And I think the answer is, yeah, that actually has some power to it. Because if the government doesn't have enough money to pay out for it, how is this getting paid? And if we're putting in less than what we're taking out at the end, that tab just keeps running up. Now, to a degree, I think Ben has a bit of an argument, but I'd still like to suggest there's a much more potent argument that we can make regarding the subject of retirement.
That is not fiscally sustainable. The notion that if you have to raise the retirement age to 67 or 68, that everyone is going to fall apart. My parents are that age. My parents are not retired, and they shouldn't retire. It would be very bad for them to retire. By the way, it's disrespectful to people who are 67, 68, 69 years old to suggest that they are in the same shape as people who are 65 were in 1940. It's not true at all. Have you met a 65-year-old lately? 65-year-olds are not old in the United States. They're not. 68-year-olds are not old in the United States. Again, Joe Biden thinks he's not old, and that dude is running for president again, and that dude actually is old, and he's 81. I fail to see how a country in which our entire leadership class is 80 plus is telling you that we should have a retirement age of 65. It makes no sense at all.
Ben Shapiro. Yeah, he got a little kickback on that. The question remains, should a Christian retire? And we've got to go, of course, to our source book for that question, and that is the Bible. Here's what it says. Nothing. It doesn't tell us whether we should retire. So we then need to move away from seeking explicit Bible verses to looking at implicit Bible verses to ask the question, do I get to retire? And I think that you will find some implicit Bible verses. For instance, God is a working God, therefore we work. That is what we see immediately in the garden. We see, of course, modeled all throughout the Old Testament that people worked. Did people ever get to the point where they were so infirm they couldn't? Of course. And family took care of them. But we see Jesus modeling work. We see Paul running the race to the end with no mention of retirement. So as Christians, we, I think, can conclude that God leaves it an open-ended question for each believer. Whether or not you continue working at the factory, punching in, punching out, collecting a paycheck, I believe biblically that is totally up to each individual. Social Security aside, the fiscal irresponsibility of that Ponzi scheme aside, all of that aside, the Bible just doesn't say that you should or shouldn't retire, and therefore I wouldn't be willing to make a law about it. If the government wants to do that, so that's up to the government. But just because the government says retire at 65 doesn't mean we have to. Let's let each Christian, based on their own conscience, make that decision. Having said that, where do we see that a Christian is to stop working 9 to 5 and then playing all the time? And I don't see that even being hinted at anywhere in the Bible. Instead, I see that we are to continue being image bearers, to work. And if you have the ability to retire at the age of whatever you choose, well, praise God for that, but I don't think that lets you off the hook of work. Instead, I think you're supposed to be treating that retirement like being single. What's the advantage to being single? You got free time. You're not raising a kid. Therefore, what is the encouragement of Paul? Get to work. Serve the body. You can do all kinds of things for your local church. And when you retire, guess what? You no longer have a 9-to-5 commitment. You have all kinds of time that could be employed in the service of eternal things. You can get on it. You can be working at the church. You can be volunteer. You can be praying. And this is going to whoop and wharf as the years go by and you're less able to. But it seems the Bible is pointing toward you never get to retire. You can stop working that job, but you never get to quit working unto the Lord. And that brings me to a conversation that I had on Sunday night with some dear friends in Texas. I think they're deep in the heart of it. For years, they have been working with young marrieds. This is what we would esteem to be an older couple. They've been bringing in young people into their home to mentor and disciple them. Once too many kids started showing up, they started taking it to the church so that babysitting could be provided for the kids and they could do some adult marriage talk. And I'm fascinated by it. And I'm a little bit, in a sense, disheartened by it and yet hopeful about it. Frio, would you tell us what you're talking about? How's about this for an idea? How's about we start actually enlisting our seniors into actively discipling younger people, actively promoting it, bringing people into your house, modeling it, whether it's a woman with a young lady, an older man with a young man, couples counseling, let's start encouraging older people. You want to quit working? That's your call. But you ain't done with your labor for the Lord, and we've got a job for you to do. And I wonder if a lot of seniors wouldn't rejoice at hearing, we want you. We don't want you on the sidelines. We don't want to relegate you to nothing. We want your wisdom downloaded into the lives of these young people. And we start creating programs. We start creating structures, frameworks, opportunities. And we start cultivating the idea, if you're old and you don't have to go to work every morning, you ain't done working. And we're going to plug you in. And we're going to get you involved. It's funny that the seeker-sensitive trend, it's always after the young folks, got to appeal to the kids. Okay, well, that's a nice goal. But what about the other end of the spectrum? What about the people who still know that they should be working unto the Lord? Question, is it possible that maybe your church has been overlooking a labor pool for far too long? Methinks we have. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. We need more ongoing monthly Wretched Gospel partners because we rely on our supporters to produce all of these resources that reach millions with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We promise faithful stewardship with every single gift. As a matter of fact, we are ECFA certified. 83% of every dollar given to this ministry goes directly to the work of ministry. You can find out more right now at wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Record number of children are attending the Tomorrow Clubs in Africa. You should see the videos. Hundreds of kids run to meet at a Tomorrow Club in Africa. Why? Because Tomorrow Clubs, they're weekly kids meeting clubs where the kids, yep, they get some treats, but they get the gospel. They get the Bible. $1 per child per month. Encourage you to please consider supporting the great ministry, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Transformed Season 3. It's finally here, and we're inviting you into the lives of individuals that are facing the giants of fear and guilt and grief. But hey, there's a twist. These aren't your typical battles. These battles have been fought with the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith. We'll together dive deep into the heart of what it means to be transformed. Transformed Season 3 can be found right now at wretched.org/transformed3.
Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. Preborn.org/wretched.
Are you ready to go on an adventure that tackles life's biggest questions head on? Well, we invite you to join John Fabares and Jake Ream on a riveting journey in Road Trip to Truth Season 4. This season, they're hitting the road to explore deep questions about sin, atheism, racism, and the very nature of truth itself. So if you're ready to head out on a road trip, buckle up for the truth. Road Trip to Truth Season 4, available now at wretched.org/4.
Might I, first of all, thank you for the hundreds of wretches who supported Masters Academy International last year. Seminary-trained students at the Master Seminary return to their native land where they teach indigenous pastors how to rightly divide the word of truth. Wonderful ministry. And you could be supporting a pastor, you could be supporting a seminary overseas, and you'll be strengthening the local church. Wretched.org/pastor.
Know your reformers. Ulrich Zwingli was a Swiss reformer who pioneered expository preaching, introduced the regulative principle, and brought a republican government to Switzerland. He fought against the Roman Catholic Church for theological and political independence and died in battle. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's get personal. I want to get personal. That's kind of catchy, if you don't mind me saying. This is Wretched Radio. Let's talk about you and what your golden years might look like when you say, I'm done going to work, but I'm not done working. Jimmy, before I get to what it might look like for some to continue working under the Lord, even when they quit their 9-to-5 job, did I make the biblical case that there is not a biblical argument for a particular year, or even how one makes the decision to stop working?
Yeah, I think you did. I think you made it clear. There's nowhere in the Bible that explicitly says anything about retirement or not working and earning anymore.
I think that it was just kind of assumed when you couldn't work anymore, you couldn't work anymore.
Right.
But until then, you do what you can do to contribute to the family economy. And I think that that then helps us point in a helpful direction. It might be that at the age of 65, you keep going. Because now your ministry, you don't need the money. The Lord has blessed your retirement account and you don't need the money, but you keep working. But what are you going to do with that money? Is it merely to amass, or could you be using it for ministry? There are a fair amount of people. I know some people like this. They could stop working, but they don't because they have the gift of making money. So they continue doing that even when they don't have to do that so that they can use that money to do kingdom work. So that might be an option for you when you retire. You don't. You keep going. But now your work takes on an entirely different complexion. I'm only getting up to give this money away, or to spend it on eternal things, storing up treasures in heaven, which, by the way, that's what I get to preach on this weekend as we get to be in our new church building for the first time this Sunday at Alpharetta Bible Church. If you happen to be near us, join us talking about Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, which probably should be titled Teachings on the Mount. It's a different word. He taught them earlier in Matthew. It says he preached. Sermon on the Mount, it's probably was just teaching. And he tackles the subject of money. And he talks about our attitude about cashish and stuff. And he says something interesting that I think we tend to overlook. Don't store up treasures here. Why? Moth, rust, destroy. Store up treasures in heaven where moth and rust don't destroy. In other words, you can't protect your stuff, but God can. Furthermore, where you give is where your heart is. It's a fascinating sentence because my thinking would be, oh, when my heart is on heavenly things, I'm going to be giving to that. And I think there's truth to that. But Jesus actually says, you give and your heart's going to follow. And that's true, isn't it? Maybe, this is maybe not going to be a good illustration. Friel, you've never had one before, so let's just keep your batting average consistent. You buy a stock. Which do you watch that one more than the ones you didn't buy? Yes, you do. Why? Because your heart is there. It follows where your money is. And that's what Jesus is saying. Give. And store up eternal rewards, and your heart is going to be thinking about eternal things. Giving in this sentence that Jesus offered comes first. Heart tags along with that. But let's just say that you're an individual who can retire and you desire to just call it quits for whatever reason. And by the way, if I could just say, I understand that getting to the age of 65, you could maybe be bored. I get it. But I think that that needs to be weighed in light of what is the way that I can have the greatest eternal impact with my remaining years? How can I strategically go about the business of having the biggest impact? And it might be where you say, you know what, I don't dig my job anymore. I am going to grind it out because the paycheck is so substantial. The best ministry that I can do is to give to that. Or you say, okay, I'm not nuts about my job. I'd kind of prefer to retire and just kind of be done with that. But I don't have any opportunities. I don't have any particular giftings that might help in my local setting, I guess I better stay working so I can give so others can. In other words, we need to do some personal reconnaissance. We need to determine, how can I have the biggest impact? That needs to be the question that moves us forward and really directs your decision-making about retirement. What can I be doing that will most impact the kingdom? Now, what if you pull the plug on work and you choose to collect Social Security? What do you do all day? Do you maybe get to do more resting than you did? Well, I think so. If I was accurate in describing just what we kind of see teased a little bit in the Bible, that you get so old you can't really work much. Yeah, I think, why do I have this image in my brain? It goes back to the first century, and it's in a village in Israel. And the old woman, she's sitting with a basket of something in her lap where she's, you know, she's just like taking the peas out of the pods because she can. That was, she kept working, but it was very limited. So I think that if that is accurate, you don't have to be perhaps getting up when the birds start chirping, and you can perhaps rest a little bit more. It is even possible that between you and the Lord, you might have a bit more discretionary time to do some things. That is possible.
But
what?
You've got to be careful not to be idle.
Right.
Because, I mean, I think that goes back to something that Shapiro said in his diatribe, that people who normally retire are dead in 5 years. That's not true across the board, but that does give...
With me, it's like, no, the reason that happens is because we're supposed to be purposeful workers.
Right.
That's what we're made to do. That's what we're made in God's image. The working God crafted us to work. And when you don't have something to contribute and do, yeah, your wheels can fall off real fast. You think that playing golf all day, every day is going to keep you healthy? It doesn't, because you weren't made for constant play, even in retirement. I agree with that, but Ben just doesn't bring up the reason why. He doesn't have the underlying foundation. We're to be workers, but God does not lock us into a Social Security system. God never said, this age, no further, and then you're supposed to do that. It's always a liberty issue, specifically a heart issue. What can you be doing for the Lord? The conversation that I had on Sunday night with some dear friends about how they ministered to younger people, they would bring in young marrieds, and they would... At first, I was like, yeah, of course, this guy would do that. He's a financial guru. And so what did he talk to the younger couples about? Finances. What about insurance? Here's how much you should say. This is the ratio for a rainy day. And after I got over the, well, yeah, of course he would do that because he's a finance guy, I went, wait a second, that's really smart. Because they don't know. And he does. And so it helps. And he took a lifetime of experience and downloaded it into these young people. So it can be very practical things. I just received an email from a young woman. They now have a child that they adopted. Well, they haven't adopted yet, but received at 6 weeks. They're probably going to adopt. And she was saying, everything is just flipped. My quiet time, how do I do this? I don't know. Might there be an older woman who has had a similar situation with children and figured some things out? Wah and la, you've got yourself intergenerational discipleship. You could be talking about how to raise adults, not kids, adults. You could be teaching them how to discipline. This gentle parenting thing is really not great. That was an understatement. How do you teach them biblically, young couples who might be kind of, oh, yeah, that makes sense because I didn't like the heavy hand that my parents exercised. What does the Bible say? And an older couple can be instructing them on those issues. Financial stuff, money management, roles, communication skills. And this could be done not necessarily in the context of the church. This couple actually said the best sort of discipleship they did is when they brought the couple into their home. They modeled it. Questions were asked. Guard was down. They got to know the couple. And it became a ministry. And one of the things that they did that always shocked people was they'd ask them how they could be praying for them. And then when they prayed for them, they'd send them a text saying, "We just prayed for you." And what did that teach the young couple? Oh, they pray together. They actually do what they say they're going to do. It's not just sort of a Christian throwaway line. I'll pray for you. They actually did. Whoa. Hey, we could be doing that. All that to say, God doesn't give a specific dictate other than keep working unto the Lord till the day you die. And how that manifests itself, well, that's up to you. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.